invite you, Holy Spirit, help us to step out of our boats. Help us to step out onto the waters of faith where you are, Lord. Help us to come to you, Lord. Not just expect you to come to us, but we want to come where you are. And we want to see miracles happen in this year, Lord, even this month, even this week. Father, we believe in miracles, the miracles of your kingdom. And we ask you to come and establish miracles as commonplace amongst us as a church. Father, we pray that you will step out in faith, even today, that we will have a faith that every day you want to work miracles in our lives. You want us to be walking miracles for your glory, Lord. And we thank for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And if you'd like to turn in your Bibles too, we're just going to look at one passage of Scripture. We're going to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And in Matthew 14, we're doing a study in Matthew as a whole church. We're going through. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're being challenged by it. Hope you're coming out of your comfort zones through it. But as we're going through Matthew's Gospel, this week, as it happens, is Matthew 14. And when we ask Anita to share or bring a word of faith, I didn't know what she was going to say. And I trusted the Lord about it. I try not to control things. You follow a prompting of God and then leave it with the Lord. And what the Lord really impressed on me what to talk about this morning was the miracle that took place just before the miracle that she was talking about this morning. So you're going to get a double whammy this morning. What she talked about was how that Peter was walked on water on one word from Jesus when he said, come. And he stepped out of the boat, walked. There's a whole message in that. And we've heard from Anita, the Lord through Anita, saying you need to step out of your boat, whatever your boat is. As a church, we need to step out of our boat and find that building that God has for us and find the premises he wants to use for ministering to the lost, ministering to the community in the town. And all of that is a stepping out of faith. But I want us to home in this morning in Matthew 14. We're going to read at verse 22. Is that all right? Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples... No, we're not. We're going to go to verse 13. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. I'm just going to repeat what Anita said. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. I just want to say something about Jesus this morning, which he wants us to take hold of. We know this well. In verse 13, it says that Jesus departed and he went to a deserted place. If you look at verse 23, it says that Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Here's the big key. Here's the key to miracles. You want a key for miracles? Do you want a key for miracles? Do you want a key for how to find miracles in your own life? And how to be a releaser of miracles? Because this morning we're talking about the kingdom of miracles, which is what the kingdom of God is all about. The way to find miracles, the way to release miracles is to get alone with God. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't want to be alone with God. That might sound a very unspiritual thing to say, but actually sometimes I'd prefer to be with people. Sometimes I prefer to be working hard, doing stuff, being active, because I'm an active kind of a person. And sometimes God's saying, that's the one thing I want you to do is I want you to get alone with me. But Lord, I've got so many things to do. I've got so many things, so many people to see, so many this and so many that. And God wants us to get alone. Why does he want us to get alone with him? Because when we get alone with God, we find out where we really are.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't like to get alone with God because when you get alone with God, you find out what you're really like. And that can be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes because God will always face you up with the greatness of who he is and then the smallness of who you are, really, compared with him. But he has to do that to show us that our answers are not in activities. Our answers is in getting alone with God and hearing what he has to say and beginning to receive his fresh word that he speaks over our lives. And out of the words that he speaks to us, we discover who we really are in Christ, right? We discover who God has made us to be. God has called us to be miracle makers.
Amen.
Just turn to someone and say, you're a miracle maker. The reason you're a miracle maker is because the miracle maker is living inside of you. See, Jesus is the miracle maker. And Jesus is the one who's living inside of you. His Spirit is living in you. And just by doing a very simple study, I've soaked myself in these few verses, this particular scripture, and I got so much out of it just by meditating on the Word. Jesus spent a lot of time alone. And some people love spending time alone. They spend too much time alone, where they should be actually working and talking and witnessing to people. But, you know, a lot of us don't like to spend time alone because sometimes when we spend time alone, we find out what we're really like. But in that place of finding out what we're really like, we find out who He is. And then we discover or rediscover who we really are. Amen. That's why we need to get alone with God. No one else, just you and God, and begin to pour out your heart to Him. And you'll find that the love and the mercy and the grace of God is right there for you so that you can discover who He is. That's the first thing you do. Discover who He is, how great He is. We've been singing about that. Hopefully you've got an awareness of how great He is this morning. But then you also discover how great He is in you. And that the Bible says He wants to make us great. Not great in ourselves, but great in God. He wants us to walk around with our heads up, that we know where we're going, we know who we are, we know where we're going, we have authority from heaven, we've got that authority in ourselves from God, and we have a faith that comes from God, and we're expecting God to work miracles through our lives, right? We had in one of our groups, I think it was one of the Crawley groups a couple of years ago, we come up with this statement, the miracle is in your mouth. So just turn to someone and say, the miracle is in your mouth. You see, if we spend time alone with God, we hear what God says to us, we read the Word, we get revelation from God who He is for us, right? We understand who He is for us, we understand who we are and what He's called us to be, and then we begin to hear God speak to us and we begin to speak out what God says. So miracles happen by spending time with God, hearing His Word, hearing His voice, hearing what He's speaking to us, speaking for the church, speaking in the workplace, and then we start speaking out. Kirsty actually had a great testimony about that this morning. She began to pray out those things that God is beginning to show her. And as she speaks it out, the miracle is released into the atmosphere. That's the way faith works. Faith is something that happens inside of us, in our hearts. We believe it in our hearts, but it's no good just believing stuff in your heart. You've then got to convert it into an action of faith, an action of words, of prayer, of declaration, and then you start walking in it, and somewhere along the line, you've got to step out of your boat. I've got to step out of my boat and put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. We're going to do that a little bit later. But God is wanting to encourage us this morning that if we'll spend time alone with Him, we'll get the picture of what He's speaking, what He's saying, and God wants us to be a miracle church. I'll say it again. God wants us, Kingdom Faith Church at Crawley, to be a miracle church. Amen. That we're known, and over East Grinch as well, we're known for miracles. We're a miracle church. And I got so encouraged because when I read this, I just waited for a while and listened to the Holy Spirit, what He had to say. And He said, this passage that you're going to read this morning is all about you as a church. So let's just read it through together and get encouraged. And it says, verse 14, when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude and He was moved with compassion for them. God wants to move us with compassion. He wants us to move us with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. That meant He felt things from heaven for people. Emotionally, spiritually and emotionally, He felt things from heaven. He was moved with the compassion of the Father. And because of that love and compassion He felt for people, He did something about it. He stepped out of His boat and He healed the sick. Does that make sense? And too often, because we are in our comfort zones or we're in our fear zone or our unbelief zone, whatever your zone is that you happen to cling to, God is saying it's time to step out and really step out and start healing the sick. Amen. Stop praying for them, heal them. Because that's what Jesus healed the sick. Doesn't say He prayed for them long prayers. It actually says He healed them. And I keep having this challenge, really, that God was, when Jesus was healing sick people, He didn't take an awful lot of time. I reckon that most of the miracles happened like that. When He walked past them, they got healed. We're going to read it at the end of this passage or the end of this chapter, how that people just touched the hem of His garment. Now, we often put that out and say, well, that was Jesus. No, that's you. That's a picture of the church. That's a picture of us as a body. That's a picture of you. That God wants us to be in such a place that we're living in such a place of faith and trust that the miracles of the Spirit are in us. We're carrying them with us. We're carrying the goods so that even if someone should come out and touch your trouser leg or touch Jerry's boot or touch Lorraine's lapel on her, is it a dress you're wearing or a top? Whatever, that they would be healed because there's faith operating inside of you. Do you understand? That's how Jesus was operating. He was in such a place of faith that this fountain of living waters of miracles were flowing up inside of him, and they were ready to be dished out any time the faith came and reached out and took hold of it. And the Lord's saying, that's how I want you to be living in college, in school, in your workplace, in your community, with your neighbors. Get ready for miracles. Get ready for miracles. Let's believe God that God wants us to be a miracle people. He wants you to be a miracle deliverer. He wants us to be a miracle church. And verse 15 says, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place. The hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. What were the disciples doing? They're probably doing what you would have done. They wanted to get back to their comfort zone. They wanted to go home and go to bed or have their evening meal. They're out in a lonely place. There's thousands of them and they're tired. They're feeling a bit weary. And so they suggest to Jesus, what a good idea it would be, this is human reasoning, send the crowds away because we haven't got any food. In fact, we haven't got anything at all. And listen what Jesus said to reason. This is reason, right? Jesus speaks to reason and he says, Jesus said to them, after they said, send the multitudes away that they can go into the village and buy themselves some food, Jesus said to them, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. So Jesus immediately turns the tables. See, in our reasoning, we usually put everything off out there. Send them away, Lord. I don't need it right now, right? We're pushing things away from us, pushing things away from. But Jesus turns the tables and he says, you're the answer. You've got the miracle in you. You've got the miracle waiting to happen. And so Jesus says to him, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, I don't know what size the loaves were. They probably weren't enormous, gigantic loaves. They were probably, I don't know, but they were loaves. They were small compared with the crowd of people that was there because we reckon that there was at least 12,000 people there. In this little crowd that went on a hill somewhere to listen to Jesus preaching and teaching and doing miracles, there was a lot of people there, and 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's all it was. And Jesus says, you do something about it. Do you think Jesus is believing for miracles? He is. And you give them something. And they said to him, we've only 5 loaves, 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. If you'll bring the little that you have, if you'll bring what you consider to be small, if you bring maybe the last bit that you've got and you bring it to Jesus, a miracle is about to take place. If you bring your gifts and talents, your spiritual gifts, your grace gifts, the different abilities that God has given to you, and you bring them to Jesus, what's he going to do? Well, we read about it here that these 5 loaves and fish were brought to Jesus, and it says that he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, which is where all the miracles come from, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. If you bring what you have and you offer it up to Jesus, I mean, that means you let it go. You put it into his hands. And you're now available, God, whatever you want to do with my life, wherever you want to take me, Lord, today, this week, this month, this year, next year, it's yours. When you put something into the hands of God, Jesus will always break it. Miracles happen out of brokenness. Miracles take place when things are broken. That includes you and me. God has to break something in our lives in order for the miracle to come forth. Because the fact is that we had a leaders' conference recently, and the whole message, the tenor of the leaders' conference was Jesus is saying that he wants the church to become a spiritual people. He wants the church to become spiritual, full of faith. And that a lot of the church, a lot of leaders are still very selfish. And so the whole thing was about being spiritual or being selfish, soulish, selfish. And Jesus has to break off our selfishness, that part of our lives, that comfort zone, that selfishness, that those areas that we want to keep for ourselves. Well, I'm sorry, but if God's going to work miracles, something has to break. And when we offer what we have to the Lord and give it to him and let it go, Jesus will break it. I'll tell you something incredible will happen. Is you won't just have what you've got at the moment. That's exciting. I don't want church to be how we've got it at the moment. I know, and you know, I think we all know this isn't how it should be. I think we all know there's something far greater than what we experience here on a Sunday. But you see, to get there, we as a people have got to allow the Lord to break the loaves, break the things of our lives that are still wrapped up in ourselves and our selfishness. And as those things are often got unbroken, the miracles of his presence start to being released. And that's where we begin to lose ourselves. That's where we start to lose self-consciousness and we begin to get a new God consciousness, a new consciousness of who Jesus really is and of his spirit that he's placed on the inside of us. And so we actually begin to lose ourselves, but we find him. So our identity really is Christ living in me is my identity. That's who I am. It's Christ living in me. It's not me without Christ any longer. It's Christ living in me. He is my identity. He is your identity this morning. And as you offer yourselves to God and offer your life to him, and as we offer ourselves as a church to him, he will come and break the loaves so that a miracle can take place. And the Lord just said to me this morning, he said, This is a picture of the church here, that you're going to become I've called you to become a miracle church. And if you'll meditate, I encourage you to meditate on these scriptures, because there's a whole series of messages tucked away in this passage of what actually happened here, how that Jesus fed a multitude through a miracle. I take that to mean that Jesus wants thousands of people to be impacted with the gospel of the kingdom through you and through me and through us as a church. Amen. In this town alone and other places too. He wants to work miracles. Amen. He wants to work a miracle in your life. He wants to use you to release his miracles. Yes. See, miracles come from heaven. So what we need to do, we need to tune into him, spend time with God, pray, be alone with him for a season, spend time regularly just getting alone with God. Listen to what he has to say, because it's always very upbuilding what God has to say. Even when he tells us off, even when he convicts us of sin in our lives, it's always upbuilding. It's amazing that, isn't it? Because we get forgiven and God just encourages, come on, this is the way I want you to go. This is the way I want you to walk in. Walk in this way and you'll see miracles happen. And God's saying to us, I want you as a church to walk in the miraculous. See, what we're seeing happen with Kirsty in that college is an answer to prayer. But it's much, much more than that, because there's a lot more God's going to do in Crawley College. See, he hasn't just got a classroom, he's got a whole college in mind. What God started to do with Nick and Glenn and some of Glenn's mates since Glenn gave his life to the Lord is just the beginnings, but there's a whole series of people that God wants touched and reached for his kingdom, and that's already beginning to happen. See, God is wanting miracles to take place. Every time a person gets born again, it's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle that could happen. But then he wants all these other supernatural miracles of healings, of deliverance from demonic oppression and stuff like that. God wants that stuff broken off of our lives so that we can break it off other people's lives too. Amen. So let's just read a little bit more. He commanded the multitudes, verse 19, to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So we're not here for ourselves. We're here for others. Now, you've heard that. You hear that in Kingdom Faith a lot. We don't live for ourselves. We live for him, and we live for others. But do we? Do we really do that? God is wanting us to have that as our focus, that we live for him and we live for others. And if we'll do that as a church, because what happened here was the disciples said, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish, send them away. Jesus said, no, you feed them with what you've got, but we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring it to me and I'll multiply it. Miracle time, I'll multiply what you've got and it's going to feed a multitude. Are you getting the picture? God has in mind this morning a whole town here. Let's just suppose, I don't know the exact figures, but let's just suppose that in Crawley there's 120,000 people that live in this town. And out of that 120,000, let's just guess roughly, let's say 1,000 people are saved. Hopefully it's a little bit more than that, but who knows? I don't know. I don't know what the figures are. But genuinely saved, genuinely love the Lord. That means there's another 119,000 people that need to get saved. That's a multitude. And God's saying, if you'll believe me, it doesn't need a big group of people. It was just 12 disciples with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all it was. And Jesus, right? And Jesus, great Jesus. And working together in partnership, miracles happened. See, Jesus could do everything all on his own, but he never did. When he came, he worked through his disciples, worked with his disciples. He showed them what to do, how to do it, and they said, "Now you do it then." And nothing has changed. The same thing is true today, that when he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us so that we would begin to follow what the Word says, do what it says, and see multitudes being saved. Amen. Now, it starts with the ones and twos, but God has in mind multitudes. And he actually, when he sees you, he doesn't see what you see. He doesn't see what you see. I'm constantly discovering that what God sees about me isn't what I see. What I see is limited, but what God sees is unlimited. And so I'm seeking to tune into what God sees about me. I'm seeking to tune in what God sees about us as a body, as a church, and look with a supernatural view that he has over our lives. Because when we begin to see as God, anything can happen. Everything is possible to those who believe. You see, God wants us to see things as he sees them. And when we get his view on things, we'll begin to see that miracles will become commonplace in this church, in our lives, wherever we go. Verse 20, so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. I think with the Jews, I believe this is true, that when they ate, they would never eat the bit that they held with their hand, because that was unclean. So if you imagine when they'd eaten out of the bread that was being passed, and I don't know if you've meditated or thought about how this miracle happened, but 5 loaves broken can't feed. Let's say that there was, at a conservative guess, 12,000 people. 5 loaves cannot feed 12,000 people, can it? But as Jesus broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples, as he gave them to the disciples, there wasn't suddenly this enormous, great big cloud of, you know, baskets of bread in their hands. What literally happened was they just had what they were given, but as they gave it away, it grew. As they gave it away, it grew. It literally grew as they gave. As they gave, it grew. That's how miracles happen. They didn't have the whole miracle thing in their hands. What they had, as they gave, it grew. As they gave, it multiplied. This is how the miracle of the feeding of these 5,000 plus people took place. And the same thing is true for you and me. That's why we don't see miracles happen the way that we should do. It's because we're not stepping out of that boat. We're not praying the way that we should. We're not seeing things the way that we should. But if we'll see things, listen to the Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit, he will lead us into miracle territory where we can begin to step out. And as you step out, the miracle takes place. That's always the way it works. You have to step out yourself into that place of faith, and a miracle is released. A person is healed. A person is set free. A person gets saved. You begin to witness to a new crowd of people, and things begin to happen. But there's a step of faith that has to take place first. Now, those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So it could have been 20,000 people. It could easily have been 20,000 people on that hillside. And Jesus did this amazing miracle. And the Lord was saying, he's saying, Crawley Church, and East Grinstead as well, you are a miracle church. You're a miracle people. I want to release miracles through you. God has multitudes of people in mind that he wants saved, set free, and delivered. When we start bringing what we have to God and letting him break it open, miracles will take place. Are you with me? I'm excited today because I know there's miracles of finance. There's miracles of finance for you personally. There's miracles of finance. There's miracles of finance for the church here. There's miracles of buildings. There's miracles of people being saved, multitudes being saved. There's miracles of healings. There's miracles that God has waiting to be released through our lives. as we trust in him. Just come with me just right to the end of this chapter. Matthew 14, right towards the end. Verse 34, talking about miracles, kingdom miracles. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, Jesus, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly whole. Miracles. It says in the New Testament, it says that when Peter, after the day of Pentecost, in those early years, when miracles were beginning to flow, that when people just walked past the shadow of Peter, it says, they got healed. Just the shadow. Miracles. Do you think Peter was expecting that to happen? I do. I believe that Peter was had experienced such things of the Spirit that he was expecting anything to happen. He was 100% available to God, for God to use him. How about you? How about me? Are we ready for the Lord to work miracles in our lives, through our lives, today, this week? Think about your life as it is this morning. Let's stand to our feet, shall we, as we're going to bring this to a close and pray together. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord's been speaking to us today. He's been saying to us, come to me. Get out of the boat and come to me. That's what he's been saying. The Lord's wanting to stir us up in our spirit, stir us up in our mind, stir us up in our faith today, that we have an expectation. God's going to use me. God's going to use you. God wants to use each one of us. God wants to use us as a church to begin to release miracles, miracles of faith. Amen. I don't know if you believe it this morning, but you know, our great enemies are fear. We read about that in that chapter. Doubt. God couldn't possibly use me. Unbelief. God's definitely not going to use me, right? But God wants us to repent of those things of fear, of doubt, of unbelief. Deal with them in your life. When you spend time with the Lord alone, if you recognize you have fear or doubt or unbelief in your heart, then bring it to the Lord and ask him to cleanse it and wash it away, and he will. And then ask him to release that spirit of faith for miracles, because God is bringing us into miracle territory. Amen. Miracle territory. Let's lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Right where you are, right now, this morning, just receive from the Lord miracles in your hands. Just receive them. Now, to receive a miracle, you've got to be believing something. But this morning, just start receiving. Start dreaming. Start believing big things of God, because he's a big God. I'm not talking about being wacky or strange. I'm talking about really tuning into things that God wants to do in your life and with us as a body of people. We are the body of Christ. That means Christ is our head. That means miracles are flowing in our lives. Miracles are flowing in the body. Miracles are flowing from him through us and to us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we lift our hands, as we lift, open our hearts to you, Father, I pray this morning that you deliver us from every fear. Lord, any unbelief, Lord, any doubts that we have, Lord, I pray, Father, you cleanse away those things, Father, as we spend some more time, Lord, today and this week, as we bring this word that you're bringing to us, that we would come into a place of miracles. Father, we pray that you'll instigate, even as you're stirring us up this morning, we pray, Lord, that you'll put into our hands this morning, we're receiving miracles in our hands. We're receiving people being saved, Lord, multitudes of people being saved. We're seeing towns being transformed, Lord. Father, we're seeing provisions coming, Lord. We're seeing miracles, supernatural miracles, healings taking place. Father, you're placing it into our hands. You're releasing it into our hearts this morning, Lord. Father, we pray that the weight of your glory will come upon us in this time, Lord, that we begin to receive miracles. We see that you're stirring up miracles inside of us, miracles that mustn't just stay in us, but they need to be released through us. Father, miracles that we'll begin to believe for, miracles we'll begin to speak, miracles we'll begin to pray out, Lord, and we'll see those miracles take place. Father, we thank you this morning. that you are the greatest miracle maker, but Lord, you've come to partner with each one of us. Jesus, you partnered with your disciples and a miracle happened. And you want to do, you said, this is what I want to do in this church. I want to partner with you. So just pray, say, Lord, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, come today. Release miracles in my life. Release miracles in this church. Thank you for the miracles of multitudes being saved. Thank you for miracles of healed bodies, healed sicknesses, healed diseases. Thank you for supernatural miracles of your grace, Lord, that you're depositing into my life. Thank you that we're a miracle church. Give you praise and glory today, Lord Jesus. Use us, Lord. We praise you today, Lord Jesus. Miracles, Lord. Miracles of your grace, Lord. Miracles of your grace, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now just pray just for a couple of minutes. Just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in tongues. Just release that spirit of faith within yourself this morning. Just be-